learn is a mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress. You say, preacher, that's just not my style. Well, you got to get out of your style every now and then. You'll be a bigger person, a richer person, if you get outside your box that you put yourself in. That's about everything in life. You need to get out of your little box that you're comfortable in. You know, most of us are comfortable in the song we just sang before, I'd rather have Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You know, it's only have one statement in that whole song. And nothing wrong with that. That's good. There's a place for those kind of songs. But we need to deepen our understanding of God and the truth of the Bible. And old Luther in that song and his co-writers will take you in depth in some real wonderful truths that we believe. And as I said, our faith tradition has a connection with Free Church background and with the Reformation background. And the Reformation brought forward the idea that we're not religiously trying to go to heaven. We're trusting Jesus by faith to take us to heaven. So those things are important to us. We need to deepen our understanding, deepen our walk, and deepen our understanding of God's truth. Don't you think? Don't you think we don't need to stay surface all of our life? And that's what we'll do if we're not careful. Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 17. So that's one challenge today. Luke chapter 17. How many's got your seed, your little seed? Got your little seed? What is that? That's a mustard seed. That's a mustard seed. Now, hang on to it. Don't lose it. It's very important to keep that thing. Don't lose your faith. I mean, your mustard seed. We're looking here at Luke, beginning with 17. I had about three, Luke 17. I had about three things on my mind today in preaching, and it's been that way all weekend. And so it come down to where we are right now in Luke 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. And y'all follow me as I read. Now tonight we'll have Lord's Supper. Next Sunday night we'll have Daniel 7. I've been promising Daniel 7. And so I'm going to give a little commercial for Daniel 7. So important that you learn what Daniel is teaching. It will connect you with what's going on in the book of Revelation. Some of you have been on me for years to preach from the book of Revelation, a series through the book of Revelation. And I've always told y'all, I got to go through Daniel before we get to Revelation. And if you know anything about prophecy, you know that's true. You got to go through Daniel to get to Revelation. The connection is so real there. So next Sunday night being Daniel 7. Today, Luke 17, begin with verse 5. And the apostles, said to the Lord. What did the apostle say to the Lord? Increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Faith. They say, Lord, increase our faith. Now let's look at Hebrews 11 real quick. And get a Bible definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to mark that, or write it here in the margin of your Bible, would be okay. But chapter 11, verse 1, and Alan's going to put it up probably on the screen for you, so you can follow me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the foundation of it. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of faith. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is used 24 times in chapter 11 of Hebrews. It's been called the Hall of Faith. It says, by faith. Of those 24 times, 14 times, it says, by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, if we go over to chapter 12, verse 2, there's another real important verse that we need to read. Chapter 12, verse 2, shoot that up there. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that gave us that seed faith that we're all born with. We got a little seed faith, a little mustard seed of faith that we're born with. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So he authors it, and if you'll come to him, he'll finish it. Right? And who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, talking about faith here, despising the shame, talking about faith, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, promoted, all because he acted as the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 12:3, another important verse that you ought to mark, and I'm giving you these verses for you to write them in your margin or to be able to trace them down and follow with me. He said, I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul says, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. All right, so the atheist will say, what will the atheist say? I don't believe in God, right? The atheist will tell you, I don't believe in God. Well, what I want to say to the atheist, I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe in atheists. Because God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. There's enough faith to come to God in every person that's ever been born. They just turn their back on that faith. Or they listen to someone cause them to turn their back on faith. And by the way, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 ought to be memorized by every Christian. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Faith is the conduit by which we come to God. For by grace are we saved, not saved through faith. We're not. For by grace are you saved, not by faith, but through faith. I get that right, right? Our faith, if I had enough faith, I could be saved? No. Oh, if you could just have enough faith, you could be... No, that's not true. God gave you enough faith to get saved. That's His responsibility. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's a conduit. And that not of yourself. What is it? A gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is a gift from God. It needs to be placed in action, right? Displayed by action, and it is increased in certain things that we follow. It increases. That measure of faith can grow if we follow the rules. Now, he said, we read two verses, or we haven't read any verses yet, have we? Have I read the text yet? Have I? I done forgot. Verse 5, for the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I haven't read it all. And the Lord said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, he said, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, Jesus sounds a little sarcastic to me in this statement. Now, he was a man of humor. And they said, increase our faith. And he said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you see the sarcasm. Now, Luke has shown us different illustrations of faith when he recorded the Gospel of Luke. You remember when the four friends, they had a friend that was in need of Jesus, and they went to him and they took him themselves, and they brought him to the door of the place where Jesus was speaking. And what happened? Did they take him home and say, oh, well, there's too many people here, we might as well give up? Did he do that? No. They went up on top of the house. They took the top off the house and they lowered this man in front of Jesus. Their faith was in action. Then there was a Gentile centurion that had the sick servant who came and not, he did not come. He sent word to Jesus. And Jesus is about to go to where this centurion is and his sick servant with him. And he said, no, no, no. I'm not worthy that you should come even to my house. If you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. So Jesus is teaching on faith here. He's bringing it together. Faith as a grain of mustard seed is all we need. That mustard seed. That's all the faith we need. And hey, now he's being sarcastic. How many times is there a need for a sycamore tree to be dug up by the roots and put into the sea? That's not often needed. He is being a little sarcastic. He is saying your faith that you have is adequate. None of us should feel like we have enough, but none of us should feel like we're left out. And the more we trust the Lord, the more our faith grows. The disciples, they had already left everything they had to follow Jesus. Most of us have not done that, right? But they'd left everything they had to follow Jesus. They're on the road with Jesus while the fishing's going on and work that's going on. Carpentry's going on. Tax work is going on. They left all of that to follow Jesus. And so they had a measure of faith. They had the mustard seed faith. They had that. And so they say, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus secures them and gives them assurance. And says, hey, you've got the faith you need. You got the faith you need. It's all right to want more. No problem with that. Maybe you have the faith, but you never placed it in Jesus. He's the author and finisher. Put your faith in Him. Maybe you have the faith, but you need to exercise it. You need to put it to work. Now, I'm gonna pretend that these are fresh mustard seeds. You plant it, you cultivate it, you water it, in the right place it'll grow and produce a big tree. But it's no good sitting in the jar. Right? It's just there. If you never use it, you might lose it, in the sense that we say that saying, don't we? Use it or lose it. So you have enough faith, you just need to put it to work. Jesus, I think, is saying to these disciples, you've got the faith you need for right now. Put it to work and it will grow into the faith that you need at the time that you'll need it. Right? Now, doubt. We think of doubt as a bad thing. But doubt is a measuring device to measure our faith. Nothing wrong with doubt. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, he says, Jesus said to them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father's child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now that man received his desire that he asked Jesus for. And he had doubt. And he said, Lord, help my unbelief. So he had the adequate faith, but he wanted more. But doubt is okay. You doubt your doubts. Quit doubting your faith, though. Our faith always needs help. It always needs help. And the Lord will work with our doubt, because doubt is a part of our faith. Now, you hear people that say all the time that you need to be faithful, have faith, and you need to be big guy in God's eyes. And those people that have been on that trend for the last 20 or 30 years are now saying that they are as God, and they are God. You've heard this thing. We'll never be God, and we'll never be as God, because we will always need God. We would not need God if we are God. So we realize that our lack of faith is just an indication that there's never a time when we don't need to look to Him, and there's never a time that we don't need to wait on Him. So if our faith was as the faith of Jesus, we would not need Him. So we're never going to get to that place, because our dependency will always be to come to Him. Have you ever gotten yourself in your life where things were like you wanted? No, wait a minute. You can't even remember that time, can you? You remember, it was one day, 3 weeks ago. Keith told me, coming in this morning, he said, I got caught up. I said, no, you got your list caught up. Right? And you'll be behind tomorrow. So the truth is, God just wants us to trust Him. So what about this faith thing? I mean, do I have enough faith? Yeah, I got enough faith. So what do I do? How does faith conduct itself? How does faith, how do I conduct myself in faith then, preacher? I think that's why we had the tag on verses 7 to 10. Now, when I first looked at verses 5 and 6 and then 7 to 10, I said, Lord, what's the connection? Well, then I think I figured out the connection. Now, let's read it, verse 7 to 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing... Now listen, this is his response for them asking him for more faith. Are you following me? This is his response. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, and we have done that which was our duty to do. The first thing I want to bring there from this, we are the servants, and Jesus is the master, right? We come to the house after we have done the work out in the field, and then the master says, oh, there's more work for you to do. Because I'm going to go sit down here and I want you to go take care and milk the cow and such as this, do whatever is needed. And then one day you'll sit down with me at me. You know, and there's a doctrinal, wonderful doctrinal truth with that. We are in this world and we are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're to be out working for Him. But one day we're going to get into the house and sit down and eat with Him. You looking forward to that day? One day we're going to sit down and eat with Him. So our example of faith is how to live faith. And we are the servants of God. And so if you're going to have faith, you just use it like you're a servant. Here's the deal. I see this. People want faith so they can be a big guy. You never get to be a big guy. That's a bunch of phony baloney. Faith is to be a servant. You go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Those people that were living for God, it said by faith, Moses by faith, Noah by faith, Jonah by faith, by faith, by faith. You know, and then it says of Abraham, by faith Abraham, when it talks about Abraham, he never did receive the things that God had promised him while he was alive. He died believing and received it after he died. Oh, Abraham sitting up in heaven 100 years after he died. Well, it ain't happened yet. Oh, yeah, we're doing pretty good down there. But now, you know, then after that, hey, now they're down there in Egypt. Things is going bad. 400 years later, they're coming up out of Egypt. There's a bunch of them saying, hey, we're doing better now. And then he gets out there and getting ready to go into the promised land. Oh, we're doing terrible now. I mean, we're flubbing it up, man. We're messing it up. We're going the wrong way again. Hey, what Abraham's been watching all them years, the same thing going on in our life today, isn't it? Yeah, we do good for a while, we do bad for a while. We get the church going the right direction, then we get it in the wrong direction. Oh, Abraham's been up there, and you know, it was 2,000 years before he saw the birth of Jesus. He saw the times of David, we're doing pretty good now. And then he saw the times of Ahab and said, oh Lord, we done bloated again. Isn't that life? And you say, preach, if I had faith, I would escape all these things. No, you would not. You need faith just to exist and serve. And oh, Abraham still hasn't seen it all. He saw the birth of Jesus. He said, oh, now the Messiah's in. Hey, we're in, we're in, we're in. And then they crucified. And then it's all death to the Savior then. And then he resurrects from the grave. He said, hey, we're back on again. And then he walks with the disciples and sends up into heaven. What am I saying? I'm saying faith does not produce in our life the things that we might want to say it produces. If you have faith, you will become a wealthy person. Is that anything to do with the Bible and faith? No. It's all, what that is programming. It's the Amway of Christianity. It's a way for one person to have success. So, our example of faith, we're the servants. And he says of these servants, you come into the house and expect to sit down at the table. No, you got to go back out. Go out to work. That's what faith does. Faith did not allow any of the great faith people of chapter 11 to enjoy any of the things that you and I enjoy every day in life. I enjoy air conditioner. How about you? Now, secondly, I'll give you two examples of servanthood and faith in the Old Testament. The first one, and I'm jumping through this pretty quick, Elijah was the prophet of God. Who was his servant? Who was Elisha? Who was Elijah's servant? Elisha. And he served. Right? He served. He was the second behind him. He was the man in the background. He wasn't being uplifted. But listen, that type of work that Elisha did put him as the great prophet in Elijah's place, and he did twice the miracles of Elijah. But who was Elisha's servant? Forgot him, didn't you? Gehazi. Hey, he's in ministry training, right, in Elisha. But what happened? Elisha healed Naaman, told him to go down to the Jordan, dip seven times. Told Gehazi clearly, don't take any payment for what we're doing. Let God get all the glory from this. We're not doing this for money. Boy, that needs to be reminded for people. Amen. We're not doing this for money. We're doing it for the glory of God, and God can't get the glory because we're getting all the fringe benefits. If you serve God when things are going well, what glory to God is that? When you serve God when you're losing, that's when God gets glory. So Gehazi said, you know, it ain't right for Naaman just to get by without paying a little. Oh, you got to tithe and you got to do these things. And so it won't hurt anything, and nobody know about it anyway. I'll keep it to myself. He said, you can give me a couple of pairs of garments out there and a little bag of gold and everything will be all right. Nobody will know. God knew. God knew. And Gehazi lost his ministry when he violated God's principle. He didn't want to just be a servant. He wanted to be rewarded for it. Amen? So there's your two examples. So what does faith do? Faith causes us to operate under the authority of God, causes us to continue under the authority of God. Servants that succeed as servants, they never transition into complete masters, but they get another opportunity. Who are we to Jesus? We're His servants, aren't we? The servant never outgrows the master. 7 and 8, he tells us that. Verse 8, he said, we'll rather say unto him, make ready wherein I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, and I have till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Hey, we've got to remember, we're in the servant aspect of the Christian life. One of these days we're going to walk into the throne room and we're going to enjoy the blessings and the benefits of the Lord's banquet dinner. But now we just need to be servants. All right. Are you developing any special feelings about that little seed of faith that you got? We're to develop this walk. Look at verse 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Preacher, I know you, preacher, I wouldn't ever quit doing that job if you'd just show me one time you appreciated me. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't show you any appreciation. We should show everybody that serves great appreciation. Now, I could go through the list of people that serve today, and I'd say, I want to thank God for this one that served this way, and I'd miss somebody, wouldn't I? And I may offend somebody, might I? But we ought not serve because we're being thanked. We ought to serve because we love Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. Thankfulness, gratitude is like cocaine. You grow accustomed to it and you need more of it. We need to learn to be faithful through faith, our seed faith. There it is. And just serve God without any recognition. Now, I'm not saying we ought to not recognize you, but I'm saying our attitude should be that, what did he say? Verse 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. So we're having Pastor Appreciation Day 2 weeks from now so that I don't, you know, give up. Are you hearing me? We can't live on that stuff. There's not enough of it. And praise and appreciation. You men, go home and laud your wife. Just lift her up. Just say, how, and she won't believe you. She won't believe you. Just forget that idea. It didn't work. Our faith is for us to do our duty. Preacher, what does it say? Having that which is our duty to do. That's what we've done. Boy, isn't that exciting. I am just stirring the excitement. Now, so how do we increase our faith? And let me get to this. What do we do with this thing? All right, you got your seed. Some of you done lost it. You done lost your faith. You still got it? So what do you do? So I'm not depending on feelings. I'm not depending on encouragement. I'm not depending on feel good. I'm depending on faith. How do I increase my faith? Number one, it was made for sowing. That thing's made for sowing. It's no good just sitting there. We need to exercise. Put it to work some way. Are you doing anything for the glory of God? Put it to work. Plant it. Secondly, I'd say value your faith. It's the most important thing that you have. Your faith is the most important thing that you even have. And it gets so neglected. So what do you do? What do you do with your faith? You've got to groom it. You've got to develop it. How do you do that? Well, number one, by being in church. Amen. You know, the easiest thing we do as a Christian should be go to church. I know that's not true, but it should be. You go to church and you hear preaching. And I told y'all, I went through a thing about 3 months ago where you need to go and get bored. Just get bored. Just stay with the stuff. Learn how to live in a bored Christian life. Yeah, because it's hard there. It's easy up on cloud nine. Oh, Peter, when he was up on that mountain, he was excited. He was ready to build a building up there, right? He said, let's build a church here. We want to build us a building so we can have church here all day. Jesus said, it ain't about being on top of the mountain. It's about going back down there in the valley. Yeah. Value your faith. Develop your faith. Hey, share your faith. Share. You know, faith is one thing. If you share it, you never lose it. You just keep giving it away. Give it to somebody else. Tell them about Jesus. Just share your faith. And you never go backwards. You keep growing it. And so I want to say, how do you develop your faith? Well, you value it. You share your faith. You use it. You put it to work. Going to church. Reading the Word. Those things, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We use it, and we grow it. So as we do, and as we struggle, see, here's the problem. Some of you have been given this ideal that the Christian life is to be lived up on the mountain where you're to be the greatest of all, and everything's to go your way. And when you have faith, you win all the ball games. You win the World Series. That's not true. It's not about that stuff. There's a crown we win in heaven. One will remain faithful. So we continue. All right, preacher, what? We continue the struggle. We continue the struggle. We continue. And sometimes we get relief. And sometimes we don't. And then you share your experience with other people and you say, hey, man, I'm struggling. You got any, let me tell you my problem. And you just learn and we grow together. We stay in the journey and we move on. We move on. We move on. Hey, listen, folks, we're not home yet. We're still in the struggle. We're still in the struggle. So, Lord, increase our faith. How? Value it. Develop it. Share it. And keep on struggling. Keep on struggling. How many's got the things in their life all put together just like you wanted? Raise your hand. Come on. Thank you for helping him, brother. Okay, so you thought you was the only one that didn't have it together, right? None of us do. Back when I was in my 30s, I was struggling. Back when I was in my 40s, I was struggling. Back when I was 50, I was struggling. Are you struggling? We're all struggling. So, guess what? Preacher, I can't wait till these struggles are over so I can get out of struggles. No, Lord, when you get out of these struggles, you're going to have new struggles. Amen. Just keep struggling together. And one of these days, you're going to be taken out of the struggle. And then you're going to enter into the meal with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's what I've done today. Here's what I've done. I've straightened out your understanding of faith, hopefully. Help you see, it's not like what you see presented in many places. Faith is just for us to continue the struggle. Let's bow our heads. So our musicians come. We're going to open the altar if anybody needs to come. Preacher, I want to be on cloud nine. I want my faith to get me up high. I want to feel good. I want to feel like worshiping God. That's not about faith. That's about emotion. Anybody need to come today? Now today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, or if you've been out of it, just been out of it, maybe you need to come this morning. Say, preacher, I feel like I've lost my faith. You need to come. Come crawl into the altar. There's help. Let's quietly stand our feet. There's help if you'll come. Let's sing it out, bro.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
All right, so we got our faith like a grain of mustard seed. We value it. We use it. We exercise it. And that faith is what we need when we need it. May not ever look bigger than a little old mustard seed. But it's the faith that God gave you. You're stewards of it. Be responsible for it. Anyone else got a word?
Yeah, walk by faith, but not by sight.
That's right. All right, let's bow our heads. That's right, Justin. Let our ushers come.